Hello, Adam here. Before we get started on this week's episode, I want to talk to you about some music that isn't REM. I want to talk to you about the band Small Miracles from Cardiff, okay? I really like this band. They're a new wave kind of band, but then they bring in all these elements of punk and glam and grunge. I mean, Talking Heads meets Pixies? The Cure meets Queens of the Stone Age, maybe that kind of thing. It's difficult to describe, which I think is the case for all of the best bands. If you're a fan of Manic Street Preachers, Radiohead, Muse, REM, I mean most of the music that we've covered on this podcast, if you like it, there's a good chance that you will like Small Miracles. And I've got some good news for you, because they are about to make their long form debut. Having released a bunch of singles, they're about to release Live at Rockfield EP on Dirty Carrot Records. And this is an EP of four tracks that were captured in whole takes live in the studio. And they kind of showcase the range of the band, as well as that sort of tight intensity that they've kind of built their live reputation on. You don't necessarily have to take my word for it. They're playing Beneath Me right now. That's the music you can hear. Why don't I just shut up and we can hear a bit of that? I think that sounds great. That's just one of the four tracks on this EP. The EP can be streamed on all platforms, like all music can these days. But if you want to do something a little bit more special, you can search Small Miracles Dirty Carrot, Small Miracles Dirty Carrot, and you can order a copy of the vinyl of the EP. And all proceeds from that vinyl will fund the band's upcoming debut album. So that's pretty cool. But whichever way you listen to it, I hope you enjoy it. Live at Rockfield EP by Small Miracles. Go and have a listen. Okay, right. What do you want to do about these intros then?
Which
you feel
ones?
Like you've you feel like you've what? Earned them back, or what's going on?
Right. Okay. You mean our intros to us, not these intros?
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like intros. we've definitely not earned these, because they're great. They're brilliant.
I think I've earned it back.
Yeah.
Just because I was not as articulate for one episode doesn't, you know, sort of take away all the hard work I've put in for years.
But I do think it takes away some of it.
So, I also think we were both bad over several episodes.
I think on a trial basis,
yeah,
we'll return them to the pot. I reckon. Yeah,
thank you.
I reckon we could do that.
That's nice.
No, Steve, my pleasure.
Are we allowed to take away yours, Adam?
Yes.
If we think you're like, if we're like, we have a little meeting on the side and we confer and we agree that you're slacking or not, doing as well as you should be, can we then also announce that yours downgrades?
Well, it has to be like that. My intro is no longer applicable. So it's if I'm no longer a big music nerd, if it's I'm no longer a fan of REM, and it's if you two are no longer my closest friends. Which actually,
yeah.
If we're thinking about it, I don't know.
If we go away and have a conversation and decide that we're not your friend,
yeah,
we just say, sorry, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what if we went away and had a conversation and decided you weren't a big music nerd? Like we went and had a meeting.
No, I think what if we went away and had a conversation and decided you're not a big fan of REM?
Yeah, we've had a word. We've had a word and we think you're lying.
You're not, it turns out, because we've looked on the internet and we've seen people that clearly like them more than you.
Yeah. There are people who like them more than
me.
Yeah,
so I think then, you know.
Does that mean that because REM aren't potentially my favourite band, that I'm actually not a big fan of any band at all?
Yeah, which means you're not a big music nerd, if that's the case.
Apart from the person who is obviously your favourite. Spring.
Sure. I think I prefer REM.
Is there a chance that Spring ever becomes the top dog?
No, I don't think so. You just got to play the averages on that one, you know. He's got like 21 albums or whatever, and like four of them are kind of dog shit. And I think that just precludes him from being at the very tippy top. Mind you, REM have got like two or three that are dog shit. Anyway, hello. Welcome to What Is Music, a music podcast about music. We're a podcast that focuses on discographies in their entirety, doing deep dives on one artist at a time. You join us for season 6, which is called Are We Enjoying This? A critical analysis of the history, cultural impact, and music of REM. We are going through their entire career, album by album, track by track, and we're asking questions like, does context matter when you're listening to music? Does knowing the history of an artist affect your appreciation of their output? And this season, we are, of course, asking, are we enjoying this? And to be clear, we're asking, are we enjoying this in regards to the band REM, not are we enjoying this in regards to this, the 6th season of our podcast, which is called Are We Enjoying This? And which you may or may not be enjoying. I'm Adam Scott Glasper. I'm a big music nerd. I'm a big fan of REM. With me, as always, are two of my very closest colleagues. The first is someone who is not a huge music nerd, is maybe the least knowledgeable on music in general out of the three of us, and is just learning through this podcast how to apply critical thought onto why he likes or dislikes something, and whether that means it's good or not. It's Lucas Way.
Pleasure to be here.
And we also have someone betwixt those two places. It's Steve Murphy.
In the house.
I don't really love that.
No, so I'm not happy with that.
So did Steve lose that intro for a bit?
Yeah.
Steve lost being in between those two things.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did he lose? What did he do?
He couldn't even be between those two things. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable scenes. Hi, guys. How are you? Welcome back. On this podcast, we're exploring the entire discography of REM. In the last few weeks, we have reviewed their 4th album, Life's Rich Pageant, the most positive reaction to an REM album so far from all three of us. And this week, we're doing something that we've never done before. Usually, we do audio commentaries over like a full gig or something that I've edited down or someone has edited down to like around an hour or an official release or something like that. This is the earliest we've ever been with a band, and live footage of REM for 1986, 1987, it's pretty scarce. So what I thought would be interesting, I've put together a little YouTube playlist of TV performances, interview clips, promo clips from the entire period that we've covered so far, so from 1982 to 1986, I think it is. And then at the end, we've got some grainy, very low quality footage from the pageantry tour to get an idea of sort of like the vibe. And it will be interesting to see how they hold themselves and presented themselves to the world, because I don't think we've massively engaged with the visual aspect of REM just yet. You know, we've only watched a couple of live shows, right?
I'm really looking forward to track 9 in this playlist, which is 12 seconds long.
It's 12 seconds long. It should be pretty fun. I've got some things in there. There's some stuff in there. I'll try and give you the lowdown on what each clip is and where it's from and stuff like that. Huge shout out to all of the YouTube uploaders, but especially REM Video Archive. I think I've pulled a lot from REM Video Archive, who are great. You should go visit them. What is the 12 second one? What is it?
Tour information.
Tour information. Yeah.
By the time you finish explaining that clip's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
So we're just gonna let them run, right? We're not gonna try and constantly stay in sync. We'll just press play, and we won't be like, right, that one's over. Pause. Let's discuss. No.
It's just an audio commentary. We're gonna talk along as we watch them. I'm a bit worried about ad blockers. If you get an ad, shout out. The other two
again,
will pause.
I won't.
And we'll discuss the advert.
Pay for YouTube.
You've
premium
got YouTube premium.
I support, you know, the industry. The industry of YouTubers. Oh,
the horrible YouTube industry.
It's very important that, you know, such great YouTubers as Geo Wizard and
he's decent.
Tom Scott get my he's just stopped.
Don't know who it is.
Get my money.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
It's mostly Geo Wizard. I reckon it's 50% Geo Wizards, it's 50% Stardew Valley playthroughs of a few.
Just subscribe to his Patreon at that point, surely.
I have considered subscribing to his Patreon. The only reason I haven't, right? So if you wanna since you asked, the reason I haven't subscribed to his Patreon is I don't think there's a TV app for the Amazon Fire TV, and I do all of my Geo Wizard watching in bed on the Fire TV on my TV in my bedroom.
It's a good reason.
So there's no reason to subscribe, because if I can't get to the content in the sole place where I watch his content, what's the point?
What's the point?
I bet there's a Patreon app for Fire TV.
There's a Patreon app. I don't know if there's one for Fire TV. Yeah. Who knows? Right. The link to the YouTube playlist, listeners, is in the show notes. Or you can just listen to us waffle on without it. It works either way. That's fine. Right. Are you guys hovering over the play all button?
Yes. I'm in like the playlist view.
I went into play all. And then paused, and then I've skipped back, yeah? Is that
I don't
insane?
Know what that really
shall I go back?
No, no, that is a good shout. I think we all get right. to. So all, I think we all get to the state that Steve is currently in, which is at 0-0 of the first thing.
I'm in a real state, guys. If everyone could get into this state, that'd be great.
Okay,
because then we're not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I was going
to tell you what.
Go on.
I nearly got some ads then. I got very close to getting some ads. I'll tell you.
How do you nearly get ads?
I saw the first little flash of them, and then it, you know what I mean?
I don't really know what that is.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Steve knows what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
Steve knows what I mean.
What do you mean?
I mean, like I saw the first little sort of flash of them.
Yeah.
And then, well, you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Right. Yes. By the way, guys, I hope you love the song Radio Free Europe because it's on the playlist about 20 times. I think. So, okay, so here we go. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Three.
Just, reminder, guys, set your volume to a reasonable level.
Already done it.
God, I did three, that years ago.
Two, one. Play.
And again, I did it on two, so
ads,
I'm winning.
So I've got ads. This is advertising it's advertising the David Letterman show. Wait, that's not coming out of my headphones. Uh-oh.
Wait. Ooh. Letterman's not... No. Letterman's not here something, is he?
No. You're thinking of Jay Leno.
Of course.
Yes.
He's a... Yeah, it's
this
ready,
was
ready for you.
Their first appearance on network television.
Wonderful. They promoting Murmur.
Promoting Murmur, October 6th, 1983. So it's 6 months after the release of Murmur, 6 months before the release of Reckoning.
Right.
Which is interesting because, of course, there's, you know, quick turnarounds and stuff.
Now.
It has been a while since we've recorded.
Yeah.
And also, I have a bad memory at the best of time.
Yeah.
So I can't remember if the bassist is Bill Berry or the
it's
other
incredible.
Acronym.
It's incredible.
Which I've forgotten.
You mean alliteration?
Do your best.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Alliteration.
You know that it's Mike Mills on the bass. You know
Mike,
it's Mike Mills,
and it's Bill Berry. It's Bill Berry.
All you've got to remember is Bill Berry bass. And then you have to think, now remember, Bill Berry doesn't play bass.
Bill Berry bass,
you have to remember.
Bill Berry bass.
Remember,
drum.
Bill Berry bass,
bass
and remember, he doesn't play it. Okay? It's really simple.
Or we do... Bill Berry bangs because he bangs the drums.
And then the other thing to remember, Lucas, is Mike Mills does fills, but he doesn't do fills on the drums.
Yeah,
he does them. He does the bass guitar.
Mike Mills is just kind of just dressed kind of just like...
He's in Blink 182?
He's just like Blink 182. Yeah, he's got a pair of Converse. He's got a t-shirt. He's just kind of just like normal man.
Yeah.
I have a note later that he looks like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah,
he looks
like
Scott
Who
Pilgrim,
of course, plays bass, doesn't he?
Yeah, of course.
He plays also. I'm pretty sure he plays that bass.
Yeah, I think you also.
The Rickenbacker.
He plays a Rickenbacker in the film, doesn't he?
Oh, I wonder if Scott Pilgrim is just sort of based on Mike Mills.
That is incredible, actually.
Based. But Mike Mills and Bill Berry. No, Mike Mills and Peter Buck are really... They've got some energy. They're moving around. They're kicking. There, you know.
I tell you what, it's really quite weird to be... We're watching REM now, but on the right there of the screen is REM. Mm-hmm. On the very right. But also, the whole of the screen's REM. But on the right is REM.
That is REM.
That's weird.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't even know how
that
works.
Weird.
Yeah, that's quite strange.
That is weird.
I tell you what, going back to what they look like again, is that Mike Mills looks... like a teenager now because the style has come back round again for t-shirts to be short.
But then that...
For t-shirts
sort of,
and what, sorry?
T-shirts to be like kind of short-sleeved, shorter-sleeved. You know.
He's looking at Mike Mills.
But then is that like... I mean,
t-shirt.
Nobody's dressing like Peter Buck anymore, are they? With the waistcoat and the one-sleeve-down shirt.
Yeah, the one... I used to wear a waistcoat.
Would he have them both down, though, but he just rolls it up because he doesn't want to interfere with his guitar playing?
I don't know. I've only ever really seen him play guitar, but that is always his look. He has one shirt sleeve down but completely open and then one rolled up.
Mm. Now, I'm looking at pictures of current Mike Mills.
Yes.
And I can say in not one of them is he wearing like a t-shirt, like a short sleeve sort of t-shirt.
Right.
Because he's just like an old man. He's wearing shirts.
Sorry,
obviously.
I think you might be confused. We didn't say that Mike Mills now looks like teenagers now.
Yeah,
we're saying Mike Mills back then.
Yeah,
looks
like the thing we're watching. Now. The thing we're watching. Right, right.
That makes more sense because I was like, oh, I'm interested to see what this like 50-something year old man looks like in a t-shirt. No.
Mate, he wishes he was 50-something. Like, come on, this is 40 years ago, and he was in his 20s. What are you talking about?
Me. They're in their 60s.
Oh man. Look at that unibrow, Jesus.
Honestly, it is. Honestly, I still don't. I know you guys like it and you think it possesses all his powers.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Look, I talked about this on the episode. Peter and Mike are answering the questions. They become the de facto frontmen. They refused to go over to the sofa. They insisted that David Letterman came to them on their first time on national television. And you can see Michael Stipe just sat behind Peter Buck there.
Yeah,
hiding,
shy, retiring type.
When he came on after Radio Free Europe, David Letterman shook Mike Mills' hands and Peter Buck's hands, and Michael Stipe just stood to the side and looked very sad.
Yeah,
I mean, Mike Mills also does quite a boyish face as well. He's got quite a young face.
I mean, they are what, 21, 22?
Yeah, but he looks like 14.
God. That's so young, isn't it?
You're right, though. He does it like he's in a pop punk. Well, actually, I've got news for you guys. He is in a pop punk band. I'll tell you that.
Before
that,
pop
whoa,
punk.
Whoa, that's
cool.
REM, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're doing, actually. Yeah.
You know, yeah, you see what I'm doing.
It's not funny. Speaking of pop punk, it's too early for tangents. Don't worry.
That's fine. They're gonna play another song on Letterman, yeah? A song that is so new it doesn't have a name.
It's called So Central Rain, though, isn't it?
It is called So Central Rain, yeah.
I listened the other day to our commentary episode of Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, from the Patreon
feed. What a banger.
Feed.
What a right. banger.
Yeah.
What an pretty good episode, in my opinion. I think it's quite good.
You're an
idiot.
That was at the end of a very long record. When good it was like 1 a.m. and we were tired.
I know, and I don't think it comes across that I'm really tired. I think it's fine.
What about all the times you go, I'm so tired, I want to go to
I
bed?
Yeah, I say it, but I still think the energy's there. We're playing games, we're doing, you
okay,
know.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, Steve brings up, because this is how long ago it is that we recorded it, that Blink-182 have announced a new album.
Yeah.
It's not even out yet at this point.
So that's
we recorded
pre,
it about 300 years
pre-October,
ago.
Pre-October, right? I've since heard the Blink-182 album, let alone heard that it was announced.
Yeah.
That is a long
and it's
time
funny, because Steve's a bit like, you're a bit cynical about it. You're a bit like, oh, sort of, you know... Oh, is it going to be us trying to be young? And we really loved that album, didn't we? It has a great time, and we loved it.
Oh, I liked the album. Yeah,
that is exactly what it is, though. You're right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's like when it came around, it's like actually, I kind of just liked that it was just that. I kind of am glad it's not
Adam.
Them,
Adam's review of it on what's it called?
Music Board.
Music
Box
had a great it. It's a legacy sequel.
Yes.
Yeah. Music Board, Adam Scott, Glasspool. Yeah. Will this work?
Maybe.
It's literally, it is pointing at things that happened before and going, I recognise that.
Yeah. Including, and like, doesn't it start with like Anthem Part 3 or something?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
I recognise that, therefore I'm having a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you know what?
You still had a good time.
Yeah. Right? I liked the Spider-Man one when it came out.
There we go. One more time. He's given it 1.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
One of the least revelatory albums of the year. I think you've written that intentionally to sort of combat what I said.
What did you? What?
I feel like that was. I feel like that's a personal diss. Okay. I said it's the most revelatory album of the year.
I remember you saying that now, actually. I remember you saying
the band come out swinging, trying to prove that they can sound like themselves and completely succeed at it. Good job. They can sound like Blink-182.
Yeah, absolutely. You're just going to read my review.
I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just reading it to myself because obviously I never look at this because this is the first time I've ever been on this website in my life.
It's Letterboxd for music, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know the gist.
You know the gist. You know the jizz, don't you?
Know the jizz.
We all know the jizz.
I know the jizz. Talking of jizz, Michael Stipe has got a really good voice.
He does have a good voice. Yeah. I don't feel like at this point, we've obviously seen them play live in this era already. Well, actually, no, we haven't because we skipped a Murmur commentary. So this era we haven't actually seen, but it's more or less just the Reckoning era because they move so quickly. But I don't feel like he's fully developed the classic Stipe stage persona that you would know. And interestingly... No. because there's no footage of Lycidge Pageant, and you'll find out in a few weeks, there's no footage of Document either. We skip over the birth of it. We just completely lose it. And then we're gonna pick him up in the 90s when he's the full arena rock Michael Stipe, you know?
Would you pick up Michael Stipe in the 90s?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah,
why not?
He was quite skinny. Yeah. I reckon I could have picked him up.
Yeah, just sort of lift him above your head like in Dirty Dancing.
Now, here's something. I just went to go and write a comment on Adam's review. Right. I went to write a comment and I hit submit, and obviously it pops up with a thing saying sign up to Music Board because I don't have an account.
This is how they advertised Murmur, by the way, this little TV spot. Weird band.
I love that this is included.
it's a camera going through. Oh, this is the...
And now they're wandering through a garden.
Right? Just kind of through like a bit of a garden.
After you, Peter Buck.
He's got a box that's got a small doll in it, and he puts it down a plank of wood held by Mike Mills.
What is this?
That's the advert for Murmur. That's the advert for Murmur, Lucas.
Is that the Murmur? Was that the music video, though?
It was in the music video, I think. Yeah. Oh, okay, so... Rock on TV from Chicago. Norm Winters. It's Abby Goldman. This is what TV was like in the 80s, man.
Oh, man.
Rock on TV.
Now, I went to go sign up. Well, I didn't sign up for Music Board, but it pops up telling me to sign up. And it auto-populates the name, email address, and password with Kanye West.
Lovely. They need to update that, don't they?
They need to change that, yeah. I feel like they need to... They need to do something about that, because it starts with your name, Kanye West, your email address, kanyewest@gmail.com. Your password is stars, but I assume it's like something anti-Semitic.
Yeah, probably. It's Bryan Adams. Now, that's some mainstream rock, guys. Absolute nothing quote as well. Him going like, if you don't want it, you just don't want it, man. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Oh, we're back to the doll.
That's the only footage they've got of them, really, is the doll down the board.
Elephants is mooses. What did he say?
Oh, and then Bowie. Bowie's like in his pop era.
This is Xavier.
She's a China girl.
Xavier talking about his China girl.
These are the things that were coming out around the time of REM's ascent to alt rock, I guess.
Guys, Norm Winters just talking about rock music, man.
Man.
Norm Winters.
Man, Norm Winters.
Now, does this guy have a beard or a mustache?
I think he's got a soul patch and
a mustache.
Yeah, so does that combined constitute a beard?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Because Steve, we never say Steve has a mustache. Steve's got a beard.
He does have a mustache, though.
A mustache is part of the beard, though. But overall, he's got a beard. So what's the cutoff?
Well, if he got rid of the mustache, you'd still say he had a beard.
Yeah. So is it because there's more mustache than beard, you'd say he has a mustache and not a beard?
No, because if he had a goatee, you don't have a beard. Or is
that
a goatee beard?
No, it's a type of beard, isn't it?
It is a type of beard, yeah.
It is, because David Brent has a goatee, and they get Gareth to say, I like your little beard.
But then I also think if you got rid of the moustache in a goatee situation, you'd still say it was a beard. And you'd still say it's a goatee.
Beard.
The goatee is just this bit, isn't it?
So just is it just that you have to have more hair below the top lip than above
the
top
lip? No, this is it.
And that constitutes beard.
It's got to be chin. It's got to be it's got to be like on the bottom of your chin.
Right.
So are you saying if someone's got one of those things where it's a mustache that then goes handlebars and then goes up into mutton chops but doesn't have the middle?
That's a long mustache, isn't it?
You're saying that is not a beard?
Yeah.
No, I think that's sideburns and a mustache.
Oh, interesting. So it is all about the chin.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I'm glad we've listened to this interview.
I love that they're reporting on REM. Look at Michael Stipe and Bill Berry. Why is
Harry
Bill
Potter.
Berry dressed like that?
Why is Michael Stipe just like picking some dog shit out of a shoe or something?
Because they're just not interested in doing this, I don't think. Mike Mills and Peter Buck are the ones that are like...
They like being in the band?
Yeah, they like... Oh, no, they like talking to journalists and stuff, I think.
I've just been sent a picture by my wife. There's snow outside and it's settled.
It's been snowing all day in Brighton, yeah.
Look, that is some settled snow in my garden.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Humble brag.
No,
got
I don't
a garden.
Want it, though. I don't want it. I've got to drive to the office tomorrow. I don't want to have to deal with snow.
What is this footage? We just saw Mike Mills hanging up some socks, and now they're in bed watching telly.
They're trying to prove that they're not the kind of rock and roll band that has a glitzy touring life, that they do it all on the cheap or whatever. And then this is the bit where he says that all of the music videos these days are poorly done. Which seems like...
So I can't wait to watch their music videos of this era and see some absolute shite.
Well, it's because what he doesn't like is that they perpetuate like rock and roll cliches, and they're all like glossy and stuff like that. And he says that rock should be about honest emotion.
There you go. Not about women running around in lingerie. He says.
There you go. Honest emotion.
Honest emotion.
Yeah.
Should be about wearing pink neckerchiefs.
I actually quite like...
Oh, look at that wipe! Oh, it's incredible!
I quite like that they're not afraid to call stuff out like that and just say, like, everybody else's music videos are shit. But they're so polite about it that they're just like, we just think all other music videos suck. We just basically... Yeah. They're kind of like... they're like Manitou Preachers, but very polite. They're like nice boys about it rather than naughty little
punk
boys.
And also Radiohead were like this as well. Radiohead mm-hmm. was like uninterested in engaging with the whole thing.
But you know what I'm going to say? Radiohead copied a lot from the REM playbook. You know, we're a decade before Radiohead at this point.
It's interesting. We've had like three bands that are just kind of don't want to be involved in all the famousness.
Well, no, because Manic desperately wanted to, and that's why they were the way they were. You know,
yeah, true.
Oh, it's Radio for Europe
Muse,
again,
and then Muse, who wanted to be rock stars from day one, and still continue to want to be rock stars.
Exactly, guys. I hope you like Radio for Europe.
Yeah, it's the fourth time we've heard it. I mean, Michael Stipe was like,
we
he's
did hear a
time.
Little bit then of, we did hear a little bit of Up the Scares and Tune
We did,
up,
we did.
Yeah,
that
we
one.
We
did hear the one
and
that goes up the scares.
And we all know the
scares.
Name of it.
Up the
and we
scares.
All know it. And we all know it. And we're all going to say it at the same time.
We walk.
We walk.
And we all know it. And it's called, We Walk, obviously.
This is their debut on what is Bill
Tom
Berry? This is their debut on The Tube. It's the first time they were on British TV, I think. And Mike Mills sporting a little bit more of a paisley shirt look there to try and impress us upper class British people.
He's still wearing Converse though.
I think that Mike Mills and Michael Stipe have swapped looks from the last time we saw him playing.
They're just each other's clothes, maybe. Yeah, you're right, though. You are right.
Now he's just wearing a hoodie and jeans. And Mike Mills is the paisley.
Yeah.
Also, isn't it weird that you said it's their debut one, and I said Top of the Pops, and it's not Top of the Pops, but it is English. It is British, and I could sense that.
Yeah.
Is it that I can recognise the 50... Is it because I can recognise the 50 hertz refresh rate?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
PAL. Yeah, that's what it is.
I can see the PAL.
You're
an
audio visual, aren't you? Like, I can see what you're... It must be.
Yeah, and obviously these days, and in 2024, we're always dealing with PAL and NTSC. They're a huge concern.
I don't even know what they are, so you're already ahead of me. So,
do you know what? If you subscribe to Sky Cinema or like Now TV, then it is a concern for you because everything, movies, will be 4% shorter than it is everywhere else.
Because it's faster. Is mad. Just fucking output at 60 hertz. Like, you can do that. Everything can do that.
It's probably
TVs
slightly cheaper,
do that.
Right?
Everything does it. It's ridiculous.
You can watch, I think Goodfellas is like 10 minutes shorter than it is anywhere else on Now TV because it's at 25 frames a second. It's slightly quicker.
Hannah and I are watching, we have been watching The OC. And initially, we were watching her DVDs of it that she owned, which obviously PAL... region DVDs, and then I was like, I can't be arsed with the discs anymore. I'm just going to go and pirate all of the OC and stick it on our server,
which is
American rips. And the theme tune sounded different, because of the speed.
Different pitch. Yeah. That's mad.
It threw me off.
Yeah.
So Now TV is in 25 frames a second and a cool 720p.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Yeah,
pathetic.
What a service.
Who is still? Well, just don't give Sky your money. It's ridiculous.
I don't think he is. Right? No. Someone's password.
Yeah.
Nino.
Nino. It's fine.
No,
are we behind the paywall? No, we're not.
Guys, are we not all going to buy a Sky Glass?
What's a Sky Glass?
It's a Sky box that's built into your TV. So you have to buy their TV.
Oh, no. No, I'm not. No, because I don't have Sky TV. Who pays for Sky TV?
Well, loads of people, it seems like. Idiots.
Idiots.
Mike Mills is giving it to that bass. He's having.
I mean, they're probably doing one song, right, on this show. Give it all.
All of their energy is going to
the
this
crowd
one song.
Are loving it.
crowd are nonplussed. Yeah. The crowd not fussed about it, to be honest with you.
Maybe like us, this is the seventh time they heard Radio Free Europe.
No, it's just there wasn't loads of stuff that sounded like this. They don't have like a reference point for it, you know?
And also, I imagine they've never heard of REM.
No.
At this point. And so that's just like any band playing. Just anyone could go up there and do that.
What's this, Adam?
It's just a little clip of stuff before their performance on the old Grey Whistle Test that went out as part of the thing. You might recognise this as the hidden track on the last track of Reckoning. That little like sound montage that they did. Yeah. You might recognise it from that. And then it's pretty Persuasion on the old Grey Whistle Test.
Lovely. Good song.
Good show. It's great, not been on jacket. For a long, long time now.
Wow. I mean, we are just watching his hair grow rapidly, aren't we?
Well, this would be a year later, I suppose. This is on the tour, like tour time for Reckoning. Yeah, I mean, he does. He looks like a dog. He looks like one of those.
Spaniel.
Yeah, like the I Think You Should Leave sketch. The guy who gets his hair cut like a dog.
Because he pointed the picture of Bryan Cranston. Yeah. And it's the rock, for God's sake. Oh, stupid, stupid.
That is
wonderful hair, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's like a golden prince, isn't he?
He looks like a vampire.
He does. He looks like Lestat. You're right.
Yeah, he does.
No, Brad Pitt's one. What's the other name?
Yeah, Louis. Yeah.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
the vampire series.
You guys won't necessarily know this yet or anything, but it's interesting how in like later years, like much later years, Peter Buck and Michael Stipe basically swap energies, where it's like Stipe will be all over the stage and dancing and Peter Buck stands still. And here it's the other way around. Buck is bringing the energy on this one, you know?
I mean, so far, it's the two on the left that are going nuts. And then you get the stoic middle section.
And is that because he tires himself out too much in the early years, whereas Michael Stipe is storing up the reserves of energy for the later years?
It must be.
That's right.
It must be.
And he suddenly explodes after a while, whereas Peter Buck's had enough.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Buck's fucked.
Energy is like a, you know, is like a pool that you can just, you know, pull from any time.
I wish I could. My face. I wish I could.
You okay?
Huh?
You okay?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, yeah. Just.
I like Bill Berry's hat.
You have it? Yes, I also like Bill Berry's little baker boy news. No, it's a newsboy hat, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
He's come as a Victorian newsboy.
Penny for a paper.
And why not?
I was looking at hats. I was in a shop looking for hats recently.
Oh, yeah.
And
what a story.
And Hannah like suggested one of them. And I was like, are you insane? What are you talking about? Not, I look like a Victorian boy.
It's not. I mean, he's got the waistcoat on as well. Look, he's not,
yeah.
It's like like the ghost of a Victorian child has turned up to play the drums.
Yeah.
Like that bit in Three Men and a Baby. It's like that, isn't it?
In case you're wondering, I opted for the flat cap.
Really? That's the second flat cap you bought then?
No, this is when I bought that flat cap.
Oh, so we've done this on the podcast already then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we? Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was a big deal when you bought a hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got to do another hat check.
Yeah.
I don't think you wore it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about a hat check, I bought a hat literally 2 hours ago.
Why wasn't that the story that?
Wow.
I bought a hat 2 hours ago. It's a beanie hat because it's cold for Ryan running, and it's got a built-in little light,
a little headlamp
on the forehead.
Lovely,
cool
forehead.
It's like it's like the mind stone, isn't it?
Yeah, just to like just so that people can see me coming because it's dark and out, and I need to be safe because it's dark out, and you know, and it's cold.
That confused me. I thought this presenter was Mike Mills.
Oh yeah,
Reckoning. No, it's obviously Andy Kershaw.
It is
Come
Andy
on.
Kershaw. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You used to work with John Peel a lot.
Here we are. Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's of course. Yeah, Andy bloody Kershaw. Here He's still alive, don't worry. Still alive, still with us.
I was talking to someone about Andy Kershaw recently.
The Critics' Choice.
What have we got now? Oh, this is Conan what American TV was like in the 80s.
This is still what American TV is like now.
It's sort of, yeah.
Certain channels.
Entertainment Tonight.
Welcome to Entertainment Tonight.
Look at this title. Secrets.
I love graphics like this.
Yeah.
I love them. It's so brass eye. It's just like...
God, it really is. Yeah, it is.
The floating objects in sort of liminal space with like a grid background.
What I think is really interesting about this is that it's entertainment and it's music news presented as though it's actual news. Look, you've got newsreaders
in a
studio.
Suit. He's in a full suit.
He just looks like a normal
Why are we doing the same thing again? Oh, because it's American TV and they have to constantly re-show you the same thing.
We're coming back from the ad
break.
We're coming back from the ad break, I think, is what we're doing.
Have you seen that Mission Web sketch? I'm looking to buy something for my aunt. You seen that one? And it's like an American, it's like how American TV's cut together. It just
keeps repeating the same thing, yeah.
It's so accurate as
it's
well.
It's more like reality TV, isn't it?
Yeah, like Kardashians or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a serious report, look.
It really is, isn't it?
What I also love about these news presenters is that when they say the band's name, it's like they've never heard of anything so weird in their lives. They go like, and now coming up next, something from... R.E.M. They struggle with it a lot.
R.E.M. Athens, yeah. Guys, Andy Kershaw, unfortunately, went a bit off the rails and he ended up going to prison.
Yeah.
We've all been to prison. After this episode goes out and we find out we're all pirating things and sharing passwords and I murdered
a man. It's like Radio
man.
Free Europe.
Huh? Oh. Oh. It beat Thriller, you told us this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the Rolling Stones album of the year thing.
The hippest rock band of the year.
That really is the only clip they have of them, isn't it? Walking through the garden?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Look at this haircut. He looks like Lord Farquaad.
He looks excellent.
I love this quote from him where he's saying that because they're from the South, everybody assumes that they wear overalls, chew tobacco and burn crosses on people's lawns. He goes on to say that he thinks that all rock music in the 80s sounds like it was made by the same five guys, which is quite funny.
It is funny. I love this. They're just slagging people off.
The burger joint.
Yes. Joint. The burger joint.
Yeah, that's where me and Lucas go and hang out.
We go hang out at the burger joint.
We hang out at the burger
get
joint.
A couple
and we
of
sit,
shakes.
We sit in our cars and we've got sleeveless t-shirts and we click our fingers at ladies that go by.
Yeah.
At the burger joint.
I had the new McDonald's steakhouse double stack thing yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it's called. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh.
Oh.
Any of those, like, fancy... Whenever they make a new...
Philly,
I always
Philly,
try it.
Philly cheesesteak, unbelievable.
Philly cheesesteak was really good. But apart from that, almost exclusively, they're always just not as good as just, like, getting a double chee.
That's true, yeah.
Just a good pure double chee is just, like, it's, you know, it's timeless.
Yeah.
They just did a whole section on...
It's the dole again!
They just did a whole section. You're a bit ahead of us. Stop spoiling the appearance of the doll, please.
This is so wait. Why are you so far ahead of us?
Apparently, my ad blocker is better than YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
What time are you at right now, Steve? On the current video,
4:02.
Oh, okay. You're 3 seconds ahead.
Oh. Anyway, they did a whole section about the lyrics, and everyone is really hung up on the lyrics and that you can't hear them. Oh, this is a quick promo for Fables of the Reconstruction.
What is this?
This is the advert for Fables of the Reconstruction that they made.
Why? And also, why is he not shave off the unibrow?
Look at him. Look at them. Who are the guys in the fucking eagle heads? It's bizarre. There you go. R-E-M.
R-E-M.
There you go. Lovely.
Now, just to be clear, this horrible crackling sound I'm hearing is on the video, isn't it?
Thank you. Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. I thought, something's wrong with my right headphone.
So we're now in the Fables era, and they're talking about the darker influences that they bring into that album. But sorry, anyway, everyone gets so hung up on the lyrics, which is remarkable to me. We've had two news reports now going, but you can't hear the lyrics, or the lyrics are weird, which I think, A, shows how important lyrics were for people at the time. And it also means that it was novel, which I think is interesting because I don't think that, like, we'll probably talk about it at a different time, but I don't think their lyrics are that far away from, like, Radiohead or anything, right?
Sorry, I'm laughing at D'Artagnan.
Everything about what we're looking at right now.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. It's funny because I guess, yeah, rock and roll was gonna get some babes and pour some sugar on my bum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas, like, we dealt with oblique and mysterious lyrics in Radiohead, and I guess times had just changed since the 90s.
By then, it's like, yeah, fine.
I guess that's because of what R.E.M. did.
Yeah.
To a degree. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why he's dressed like one of the Three Musketeers. It is alarming. Bill Berry's got a really interesting fashion sense in the 80s, hasn't he?
I mean, I'm all for it. I'm here for it.
Could you just tell me if the monobrow ever goes away?
Oh, we're on tour information.
No. Yes, okay, so this is how people would find out they were playing nearby.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that is interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
It's gone now, right, though. What seconds are you on? What are you on? What's your timestamp?
It doesn't matter. This is a much longer clip. This is them playing live in Nashville in 1986. Really bad audio and video quality, yeah, guys. Yeah.
Are you only in my right?
It's only in my right ear. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Really bad, actually.
It sounds like I'm outside the club and I'm hearing them to my right.
Yeah, I don't know where I'd heard this before. I'm sure I've heard it in both of my ears before. I'm sure I have.
Okay.
I'm sure I've
heard it in both my ears.
Not sure I would have put this on if I couldn't hear it on, like, both of my ears.
It's 11 minutes. The longest clip.
It's the longest clip so far. Yeah. So this is them on the pageantry tour. And it's them playing, what is it? This is These Days, isn't it? I don't know what Michael Stipe's hat is about. I believe they have a second guitarist for these shows.
Oh, weird.
Just for the songs that they wanted to beef up to obviously represent their new sound on Life's Pageant. His name's Buren Fowler, and it's kind of the start. You say, like, oh, weird, but it's just the start of them having a touring band, in a way. When we get into their much later years, they have, like, a 7-piece band, including the four of them.
As well as them?
Yeah.
Four of them seven-piece band. That's 11 people on
stage. I just said including the four of them. That would have been your clue.
So there's them, you include them, and then there's seven more people.
No, it's seven people including the four of...
Yeah, so you have the seven.
Do you know what? Hang on.
We count 14. The seven.
Let me tidy this up for you. Three extra musicians.
Okay.
So there's only three on stage. That's mad. That's so weird.
No. Three extra.
So which one of the bands leave?
Yeah.
Three extra. Bill Berry. Three extra musicians.
And when am I in the band?
When Bill Berry leaves. In like 97 or something.
Of course. Yeah, that's obviously...
You took over on the drums, remember?
Yeah, I know. I just forget sometimes. I forget what I do. It's weird because in Editors I wasn't a drummer, was I?
What were you doing in Editors?
It's like the Bez, man, sort of. Yeah, it was like a front man, but he didn't really play anything or sing anything. He was just sort of...
singing. I was like Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, the guy from Kasabian.
He sings.
Debatable.
Well, he's a vocalist. Let's put it that way.
So, Stipe's dressed as a musician magician.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Why not?
Just checking everyone else is seeing.
This truly looks like it was recorded on just like... my granddad's camcorder.
Yeah. I mean, it's 1985, isn't it? 1986.
Yeah.
1986, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, when did camcorders become commercially available? There you go. There's a nice little bit of research for you to do, Lucas. I'll keep you occupied.
You love that stuff, don't you? Love that. Go on, off he goes. Off he goes. And he's gone.
He's away.
When did camcorders...
Did either of you have a relative that would just bring a camcorder to family events like a christening or someone's birthday, and it would just be 4 hours of people sat around chatting?
And I like that that's happened because I've since taken all those tapes off my pops and I've digitized them all. And I've got them backed up on Google Drive, so they're safe from, you know, the weathers of time.
Mm.
And I've watched them all when it's lovely. It's like,
that is
it's
nice.
Just like the whole of Christmas morning, like every present, every interaction for a 4-hour Christmas morning in 1993 or something, you know?
It was my uncle that had it. So we didn't have one. So we didn't have like Christmas mornings and stuff like that. It would just be like my brother's christening, and it would be the after party. And it would sort of be people.
I thought you were going to say the aftermath.
The aftermath of the christening. Just people sat on floral pattern sofas chatting. But then you can see my mum get quite aggressive towards my brother, who's very young. And and she's a very lovely lady. Have you met her? So I made sure I showed her that.
She's not.
Yeah, I've met her, and she's.
Was she quite aggressive to you?
Yeah.
She was very aggressive.
Oh, God.
Horrible.
Mother.
She does that thing where she points at you, but she's tapping your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she calls everyone.
She just wants to offer you a cup of tea, but.
You she does scruff. Call everyone oi. Yeah.
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 The. Mine was, the thing is that's different about how, you know, now every parent has got a million videos of their kids that are short. You know, you just film them doing something funny for 30 seconds.
And staged.
Yeah, and staged.
Like a staged photo of like smiling at the camera. Whereas the old camcorder videos are like, they're basically cinema verite.
Cinema verite, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just 4 hours of, it's just four, like there's a video of me when I'm like, one. I only just.
I bet you're an idiot when you're one.
I'm learning to walk, but I bet you knew. I still have to hold on to things. I was like, you know, in that position, we have to hold on to shit.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah.
And it's well cute. It's just me like trying for like 20 minutes. It's quite cute, really.
And so, was that your granddad's camera then?
Yeah, he just
right.
Well, we'd always spend Christmas with my grandparents, so.
So this was. It's probably the same, not the exact same camera before anybody leaps out, but it's the same level of technology that this would have been filmed on.
Yeah.
Maybe it is the same camera. We don't know.
The first publicly accessible one came to mainstream market in May 1983.
So that's 3 years after this, 3 years before this. So this is new sort of technology. Hey, they're playing a bit of Hyena now. We heard
this
sitting still.
This is interesting.
Hyena.
In 1992, the first colour LCD screen came to life, replacing the traditional viewfinder that necessitated squinting through a tiny hole to witness a scene. Now, the one my pops had in 1992 definitely still had a...
Over the shoulder as well, yeah.
An eye
which
hole.
Is quite...
Now, it wasn't that big.
Really?
It took full-sized...
Tapes.
VHSs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't over the shoulder size. It was, you know, you could manage it with a hand.
I don't think my Hi8 camera... had a screen. It might have done.
I think it did. The one we did little sketches on, but often did we have a screen? The screen.
I think it drained
was that
the
at that point record? Yeah, was that at that point recorded? Well, it was recording to Hi8. I was about to say was it recorded to a different format? Killer's in the title.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then we switched to mini DV, and gosh, things really improved.
That changed the game, didn't it?
Did change
the bloody game.
Changed
mini DV.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how mini DV looks. Incidentally. There's
is
some
it
movies
just makes
that
you think
are shot
of, like,
on mini
uni
DV.
And college and stuff.
No, I think I really like the focal range of mini DV. It's really nice because you still have the quality of tape, but you have the infinite focus of digital. It's lovely.
Is that a DV thing? Is that not just the cameras that were being used at the time?
Well, they were DV cameras. Yeah, they were digital video cameras.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking specifically that you like the format, like the tape, the little tape.
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah, I mean both. But yeah, I've got like boxes and boxes of tapes around here somewhere.
I chucked mine a few years ago. I had all my old rushes from like every film I ever made. I've
amazing. Amazing.
I've still got them on a US. On, like, I've still got like a hard
dailies for you.
I've still got like a hard drive just full of like, I've still got a hard drive full of just like rushes from student films and stuff.
Just send them to me and see what I do with them. I don't know.
Just turn them into some absolute brutal bit of content.
Brutal content.
Just brutal content.
Just absolutely.
I loved
brutal.
That content. That was brutal.
It really changed. It was right after I finished uni, so I never really did it firsthand. But when uni films went from mini DV still, but just like much nicer, more expensive ones, you know, decent ones, to literally like the next year after I left uni, it was everyone was just filming on Canon 5D.
Sure. I never made the leap. Never made
completely
the leap.
Changed the look. Everything had that really shallow depth of field. It was like such a different look. Like overnight, everyone they just suddenly became compact,
cinematic,
affordable.
In quotes.
They became affordable. I bought one. Yep. I bloody bought one and just started doing it for all my little personal projects that I did fuck all with. 550D, not 5D. I wasn't made of money.
You know, you were talking about rushes.
Yeah,
this is
lovely.
Green Grow the Rushes.
Lovely.
Yeah, and I knew that.
Lovely.
Because I was trying to work out what it was, and then I heard that wonderful riff.
Yeah, it's nice. I love that lyric. That's look at this building, look at this man. I'm sure we talked about it already.
Yeah, but there it is. And there it is.
No, look at this. Look at that.
Yeah? It's good lyrics, yeah. Actually. Look at this. And now look at that.
Look at that.
Look at me.
Look at something else. It's the lyrical equivalent of here's something, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it is, yeah.
So this second guitarist, by the way, Buren Fowler, he went on to be the lead guitarist in the Southern rock band. Now, you'll like this band name, I think. Okay. Drive In and Cry In. With now, an apostrophe instead of the G both times.
Not as good as Swimming in Women, is it?
It's not as good as Swimming in Women. Yeah. I think Peter Buck played with Driving and Crying a whole bunch. It's a vibe, isn't it? He might have produced a couple of their records or something. I can't remember.
Where does the 12th musician sit? Is he off to the side?
Yeah, they're all off stage.
They
use the orchestra pit.
Yeah. And there isn't one. He just stood next to security. Where's his second? Is he not in this? Is he just?
I don't think he'll be playing on this.
Okay, cool.
I think he'll beef up things like These Days and Hyena and stuff like that, you know? But I imagine behind Mike Mills. That's where I like to imagine him, okay? Yeah. And he might not be there.
He might.
When I look, that's where he is.
He might have a little peek in a minute. You never know. Just a little peek over the old.
Have a little peek, and why not?
What was the?
It is the Lice Rich Pageant tour, after all.
Having a little peek on the cover.
A little peek. Everyone was having a little peek. That's nice. That's just the vibe, and it's not threatening. Just a little.
LFP actually stands for little fucking peek, doesn't it? So,
and what's the F? Steve?
Yeah. Yeah. What is the F?
Lice Fitch.
Fucking Pageant.
Fitch Pageant. It would have worked really well had I got all of the information correct.
Now, guys, when's an appropriate time for me to eat a yogurt?
Would say?
When's an appropriate time for me to eat a yogurt? Since I've been sat here, Hannah's come and delivered me a mini eggs yogurt, which basically just means it's just melted chocolate.
Lucas, you can hang eggs on for 20 minutes, surely.
I reckon, though, people want to listen to me eat it.
Like, it's worse than eating chocolate. It's sloppy chocolate. Which is the name of your band, isn't it?
Yeah, sloppy chocolate, yeah.
Oh, this is the TV show Up to Date.
It's not.
This is
years ago.
It was Up to Date at the time. I think this is like it's a promo kind of for the next clip that we're going to see, because this was broadcast on cable TV in Carbondale, Illinois in October 1986. And then I think like the week after this, they play in Illinois, at like the Northern Illinois University, which was nearby. So I think this is just to promote the idea that, hey, this is who the band are, and also they're playing in your area next week.
That's mad, isn't it? It's so different. Hey, wasn't it different in the past?
Wasn't it different in the past? Yeah. Tickets didn't sell out in 30 seconds to the highest bidder, you know? You could just turn up to the show and get in.
I remember going to a venue and queuing. I think I was at uni. Not queuing for the gig. I think the morning of the release of tickets, I walked down to the Portsmouth Guild Hall to get a ticket at the box office morning of release.
I worked with someone in about, it would have been 2008, and a couple of months after they went on sale, they walked into HMV and bought a Glastonbury ticket.
Yeah.
Which is a very different experience,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. I remember people queuing up for their Reading tickets, actually, yeah. HMV.
Yeah.
Back when.
Yeah, you used to get information. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember you queuing to get a ticket just outside Reading on the day.
He loves that story. It's like the eighth time that we've told it, I think.
It's just mad that you could do that.
I thought you were just trying to embarrass Steve.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to dredge up bad memories. Because it was all sorted in the end. It's fine.
Great weekend. Cost me twice as much.
It's just the fact that you were able to just go to the box office outside Reading and just be like, one ticket.
Tell you what, you can still do that now.
Yeah,
you stand outside and you buy it on your phone outside the venue.
Probably again now, but there was a window where you couldn't.
Yeah. Do you like Radio Free Europe?
Hey, man. I love Radio Free Europe.
I've never heard it before.
That's so weird. This is it. We've heard it loads.
They're doing like a whole history of the band. This is actually from 1986. This is like a really recent sort of bit of piece of content, I believe we'd call it today. Yeah.
Always got to be making content. I think they're up to Everything's
Fables, maybe. Everything's content. Look how long Peter Buck's hair is.
Down to his shoulders, I'd say.
Mm.
Looking like a spaniel.
Leather jacket as well. You can tell Life's Rich Pageant is the rock album because he's wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah, and Mike Mills is dressed as Harry Potter when he gets a bit older at the end of the eighth movie.
And he's got like a job, you know? He's got a normal job.
He realised that he can't do magic and he went to work for IBM.
Is that what happens in... No, that's not what happens in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he go to work at IBM? Do they get specific about it?
He finds all the Horcruxes.
Yeah.
And that helps him get his job at IBM. Because it's a good story to tell in his like interview.
What?
I'm laughing because I thought of a joke I can't say. Carry on.
Yeah. What experience do you have solving problems? And he was like, well, I found these Horcruxes and destroyed them. And they went, cool, come work for IBM.
Did you all see the monkey riding the bike with a parrot?
Huh?
I didn't.
Did you all see the monkey riding a bike with a parrot? That was one of the promo posters for Fables of the Reconstruction, Steve.
Incredible.
Don't know if you saw the monkey riding a bike with a parrot on the front. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, the monkey with the parrot.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a bit confused because you just said that's Romeo for Fables of Reconstruction, but didn't we already watch something that was Life's Rich Pageant
It's hard, isn't it?
This is... Okay, let's see if you get it on the third time. Ready? This is a segment where they're doing the whole history of REM up to 1986.
Okay, yeah. But it's not in order.
It is, because we're at Fables. I see where you're getting confused. This interview is the most up-to-date bit of the video package they've created. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Right, that's a photograph. That's a photograph. That happened before that.
That's a photograph.
That
happened that's already that happened.
Yes, okay.
Someone took that a long time ago.
I thought that's happening now and very slowly.
Because I'm looking at you guys and I can see you and this is live, isn't it?
So we are live.
We're live.
That's true. But bear in mind, Lucas, when listeners hear it, it won't be live.
So these guys aren't on live on this call
now?
No,
we're not in 1986.
They're not on the call, Lucas.
Oh.
They're not talking to us.
Is that why they're not talking back at us?
Yeah, imagine how rude it would be if we had Peter Buck and Mike Mills on the podcast and we were just talking over them the whole time. The whole time just talking over all of their answers.
They're talking over us. They're talking over us too.
That's true, actually. They've paid us no mind at all. And actually, that's wound me up.
Should we cancel the season?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, come on we go. Next season, to Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
No, that's the end of the podcast, because this is the last season. So if we cancel this season early, the podcast ends, right?
That's a good point, yeah. Look, just have a little peek.
Just having a peek. El Peak cover, more like.
That's not... Ooh. Sorry.
El Peak cover.
I saw Michael Stipe with stubble and it literally made me go, ooh.
God, Steve.
Oh my God. Oh no.
Calm down.
Oh no.
Ooh. Calm down.
Ooh.
It is rare, but I can definitely say that Michael Stipe is his sexiness got way higher when he stopped having hair.
Oh, that's interesting.
No.
Nah, he definitely suits being the bald man.
Oh, he suits
more
both.
Than being the floppy hair man.
I like the floppy hair man and the bald man.
We're coming up
like
to the awkward in between stage, is what I will say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just like the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the moon himself.
I like the moon. I like the sun.
Oh, look, we're going to get a little bit of the Fall on Me music video, which we'll see again in about 3 weeks' time. That's nice.
That's nice. Why will we see that in 3 weeks' time? What's happening in 3 weeks' time?
Because we're going to watch it for a commentary.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, we're doing that now, Adam.
No. Okay. No, I can see again. I see why it's confusing.
This video's shit, though.
What? We're back to the creepy man with the car.
We're back to the creepy. Now, yeah, I mean, you don't really value. I mean, we do this in the old intro. You don't really value art or like visual art, do you?
So nah, why is it not just like, I don't know, like a story?
Want Ready or Not, where there's like explosions and sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Helicopters and like.
Submarines.
I'd love a submarine.
Yeah, why?
Well, because REM have a song called Song for the Submarine, and I think that would be a good video for that song.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'd hate to have a submarine. Well, actually, I wouldn't hate to own a submarine, I wouldn't go in it.
Okay, we've got some more footage from the pageantry tour. This is like, it's about, what is it, like 18 minutes long, this video, something like that?
Yeah.
It's a few choice cuts from the last third of their 35-song set at Chick Evans Fieldhouse in Northern Illinois.
It's Superman.
35-song set.
Yeah.
Hoo-hoo. Yeah. Now, who is this chap?
I think it's a member of the clique, I think. Yeah. I think it's one of the guys who wrote Superman.
That would make sense. Put my money on.
I also think that's how he was just introduced, but I have to say I was not fully listening.
Michael looks like a scared boy who's been forced to go on stage and sing. He's like really rigid.
Arms down by the side.
Whilst the other guy is like having a great time.
So we are now in Michael Stipe is a performer kind of.
So he's doing, it's performative. Oh, he's doing a Superman arms.
Yeah. Every time he's a Superman, he raises his arms.
He can't hear anything though. He's just
If you could fly, what would you do with your arms?
I'd probably be out in front of me.
Because you don't need to put them in front of you like that.
I'd put one fist on the waist and one forward.
I'd do both forward.
I think I'd just let them hang.
You just go completely limp and just.
I'd at least do that.
So
like
what part of you is actually hovering then? Is it just the torso?
The core.
It's just like magic.
So your legs are dangling as well.
Your legs and your feet are just dangling. It's like you're on a meat hook.
So yeah, because you'd have to dangle because you'd get so tired having your arms and legs up all the time. Having to have your legs up. Yes, you just hover, arms and legs dangling down.
Just dangling.
Yeah.
Also, why are they always laying, like, you know, on their front looking up? They could be sitting, like you could be sat in like sort of a sat position, just moving forward in the sky.
Again,
There's no reason for the particular angle.
His legs are also levitating. Wait, what's the bit? Wait. Oh, my God.
Well, Superman is essentially just controlling the gravity around him.
So everything's weightless.
He's just weightless. He's not weightless, but, you know.
What if it was just your head
that It's almost
flew?
Like we have nothing we can compare
so
it to. That's
everything else had the weight. So your head was flying and you were just sort of dangling.
Your neck would be fucked.
Around. Yeah, you'd be fucked. But would you still fly? Because you can fly. It's just going to really fucking hurt.
Yeah, you'd need like a neck brace or something to sort
you'd
that
need a neck
out.
Brace. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounded really good. I liked that song. I liked that song until I found out it was a cover.
The other one is rigid body like you're doing the classic Superman, but the hands just firmly at your side. Like with intent. Like really serious intent, you know? Just like blasting forwards. Like Neo.
Yeah.
I'd
feel like I'd want
Matrix
my hands out
Reloaded,
in front of me in case I crash.
Because there's one bit in The Matrix Reloaded where he does actually Superman with the one fist and he looks cool.
Yeah, is Neo cool?
I see the top hat stuck around.
Yeah, they kept that.
Oh, I saw you wearing a top hat last night. Keep that. Do that again tonight.
Do that again.
If we went out recently for drinks and stuff, if I'd shown up and I was just in a top hat, would you have like ripped into me?
If you showed up wearing your flat cap, I'd rip into you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop this.
Yeah.
Fucking Cockney Blinder.
You are a Cockney Blinder.
In the Peaky Blinders, you've got to wear a flat cap if you're going to be a Peaky Blinder.
Yeah. That's true.
If you wore a top hat, I'd expect you to do some close-up magic and...
You'd remark on it, surely. You wouldn't just be like, oh, that's uninteresting.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't not remark on it.
And it'd be really funny if you were really offended. Like, it's like, why did you have to bring it up? Like, we wouldn't have brought up the fact you're wearing a top hat. Are we talking like a big one? Is it not like Michael's one?
An Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, so it's a stovepipe hat. Have you got a stick-on beard? Are you dressed as Abraham Lincoln? You come out for drinks and you're just dressed as Abraham Lincoln and you get really offended when we mention it. Oh, God.
We are probably slightly used to slightly more of a show for an arena concert, aren't we?
Hey, man.
How big is this venue?
So 6,000-7,000 people, something like that.
That's solid size.
That is
That's like the BIC, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a window.
And it looks like they're playing at, like, I don't know, the Ports of Pyramids or something.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a window on stage. That's a bit of a show.
I think that's just part of the
actual sort of building.
The side bit. Oh. I don't think they brought it with them.
Oh, he's got the
sleeve. They've got a drum riser.
Yeah, that's true. He's got the sleeve thing.
And
you're
they've
right.
got some lights. Yeah, I think that's just part of the stage, Steve. Like, I just don't think that's not something they brought with them, the window.
Yeah, what would you do if Lucas turned up with a window when we went out for drinks and then got really offended when we mentioned the window?
I'm not really sure.
I actually disagree. I think that's part of their set.
It looks fake,
because it looks slightly
it's part of the curtain.
It looks like it's on a stand or something.
It's painted on the curtain, isn't it?
Okay, well, there's a view of the whole stage. They haven't got anything else. It'd be weird.
Wow, you're quite ahead of me because they've only just pulled out to the whole stage for me.
We've got windows on either side. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's the venue. I mean, I might be wrong.
REM?
Let me Google REM windows.
What were they doing later in life before they broke up? Were they doing fireworks and robot people dressed as robots throwing out musos?
Yeah, they actually they're one of the only other bands to go all in on musos. It's interesting.
They bought into it. Like,
they adopted it. As, yeah,
they thought like it'd be the new
Bitcoin cryptocurrency. Yeah. So, yeah.
I've made an investment. That's why they broke up. They went completely bankrupt. Terrible investment.
I told you we shouldn't have invested in musos. They're only good at one bad show. Idiots.
And they're not even, because they had no monetary value. They should have at least...
I think you should be able to swap them for a badge or something. Yeah, that would have been cool. Hey, a bit of Fall on Me. That sounds nice.
But what if you caught 100 musos?
100 badges, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's badges, maths, isn't it? Yeah, it works out, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
No, let me bring up a calculator. Hold on.
That's the exchange rate. It's a solely musos to badge sort of exchange rate.
100 times one.
So, okay, look, you can see a bit of the projections they would use there, but not of the band. It's of all the arty bollocks that they put in their music videos. I wonder if they've got the doll on the board at one point.
I hope so.
It'd be nice to see that, wouldn't it? I think this is from the Fall on Me music video, perhaps, because they're playing Fall on Me. But
weird.
But yeah, that's the extent of their show. And Steve, in later days, they didn't do anything drastically different to this, but you did at least have screens that you could watch them on. Do you know?
Yeah, I mean that literally is a projection, isn't it? Like, because it's going over them.
They didn't have screens at this point. Yeah, they only had them for like stadiums or whatever.
But even like the projection isn't like rear projected or anything. It's just like across them, so it's over their faces and everything. It's not like clean.
In the 90s, there's a tour where they use three projectors at once, and one goes onto the side, one's the other side, and one's the back, and they all interact with each other, and they're over the band's faces and stuff. And it looks great.
Oh, there's the other guitarist. Not zoomed in. That's Peter Buck. I'm trying to work out who's who on the left.
Oh, that'll be Mike and Buren. Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to
Buren
work out which side. Yeah. Because you might be right. He was just peeking on the left there.
Just having a little peek. Is Bill Berry off to the right of the stage, or are we off to the right of the stage? Do you know what I mean? He'd be stage left.
Oh,
I think he's off centre.
I think he's off centre, yeah.
Oh, and that's just REM, isn't it? Just a little bit off centre.
Yeah. Yeah, they're far right.
No.
What?
No. Stage left.
Oh,
just
yeah.
a little bit off centre.
Okay.
Just stage left, a little bit stage off centre. Can't say they're far right.
The centrists. No, because they're slightly off.
Nah, they're very...
Bill Berry's far right.
Sorry.
Michael's Guys, playing the guitar.
That's Michael Stipe with a guitar.
Doing an A minor.
Whoa.
What's happening there?
I don't know.
I was about to say to you earlier, I was going to say, does he ever pick up an instrument? But
there you go.
Yeah.
And this is a song
he's really having to concentrate. He looks like he's not natural to him.
No, not natural to him
it's
at all.
It's cut and it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, that was just a little clip of that one. It was a little clip of Oddfellows Local 151, which you guys are here on the next album. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry. All right. Don't even worry about it.
I'm not worried about it.
Oh, hey, Lucas, this is one of your I don't know. I can't remember if it was one of your actual two highlights, but this is a song that you enjoyed from Reckonings, Pilgrimage.
Yeah.
It goes, da, da, Pilgrimage.
It took me a second to sync up with what song it actually was in my brain. Yeah.
Two-headed cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really sure what's going on with the percussion there, but that's fine.
Because he's angled as well, isn't it? So it looks like we're
We're off to the right.
Stage left. Oh, God.
Fucking
hell. Oh, bloody hell.
Bloody hell.
Pilgrimage. I remember it.
Okay, well done, Steve. You can get a badge, which you can trade in for musos.
Oh, so what? Plural? So you can get a muso, trade that for one badge.
One muso is one badge.
And then one badge
equals... One badge is two musos.
Two musos. But then I can go and get two badges.
Yeah, and that's four musos.
That's four it's an infinite money glitch.
It is, but the money is musos or badges.
I'm going to keep trading them in, just in case. I'm sounding like REM with their stupid financial decisions.
Do you reckon at a future Muse tour, they'll have like... Do you think Muse will ever just release their own cryptocurrency? And they'll call it musos.
Of all of the bands that we have covered, they are the most likely to release their own cryptocurrency, I would say.
They're the most Snyder Bro crypto bastard of all the bands. It does seem like they get into...
I don't understand why Zack Snyder is
invoked. The Venn diagram is a circle. People who love Zack Snyder love cryptocurrency.
They love Bored Ape as well.
Yeah, Bored Ape.
They love the NFTs.
And hate women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't think it is fair enough. I don't think it is fair enough to hate women, to be honest.
He's got the right to say what he wants to say.
I don't think it's fair enough. I think it's bad.
Oh, hey, a bit of Begin the Begin. That's never going to be unwelcome.
What? Oh, look at him dance. So this wasn't at the beginning of the set?
No, it was like...
Unbelievable.
I think it might have closed the second encore or something.
Yeah, that's quite like it, actually. Yeah, I did
that's
like
where
it.
You put Begin the Begin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he fucked it. He fucked the riff. He absolutely fucked it. Oh, bless him.
What did he miss the diddling ding 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 ding?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Sometimes he does that, you know? Sometimes it's a bit much.
It's a bit much.
It's
too much to ask for a musician, isn't it?
But to get all the parts right?
Yeah.
Can play
the parts. That's why I never played in time.
He doesn't know the fucking part.
See, this is the Michael Stipe I am aware of.
Yes, right. So now he's playing to arenas. You get a bit more of the performance.
Look at his little dancing. Whoa, he's running on the spot. He's getting his steps in.
Yeah.
His steps in.
Look, he's like a man possessed.
Got to get your steps in.
You simply must.
I'll tell you what, guys. The next album we're about to record our episode on, there's some big... energy.
Oh, huge rare energy. Yeah.
Yeah. I really had to think about how to spell that when it came to writing it on my notes.
I think it ends in E-H-R.
Oh, interesting. I just wrote R-H-E-Y.
That makes it seem like a Welsh word.
Oh, no. There's also one where I did H-E-O-W. How?
Okay, yeah, that works as well.
Oh, great teaser for next week.
It's not next week.
Great teaser.
Not next week.
Great teaser that I'm going to talk about.
Oh, they went straight into the next song, which is, of course, their cover of Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic.
Wow, you are like 5 full seconds ahead of me.
Wow.
Wow.
I saw a compilation of all his wows, and it is unbelievable that he just was like, okay, yeah, fine, I'll do it again.
He can't keep getting away with it.
It's just, I mean, even more mad is...
That you watched a compilation of them?
Yeah. Is 8 minutes.
Even
you got a lot of time on your hands these days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eve Momento is alright, alright, alright.
There's not as many.
What?
There's fucking loads. Like no, he's done it a million times.
There's probably lots of all right. There's probably not loads of all right, all right, all right.
He said a triple all right, all right, all right.
Really? I just thought it was that one just from Dazed and Confused. That's crazy. In the attic.
It's also mad that Owen Wilson did it. Are we still talking about...
All right, all right, all right. No, I can't really do...
Wow. It's Waluigi, I can't... This is what's Michael Stipe. I'm back round to Michael Stipe. Waluigi himself.
Waluigi himself, Michael Stipe.
Why is he Waluigi himself?
That's how he was introduced in David Letterman when he introduced the band.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Very beginning of all this. All those years ago, an hour and 13 minutes.
Oh, he's giving it the big rock and roll.
Yeah.
Look at him go. I'll tell you what, he's very fashionable there. That kind of baggy t-shirt and baggy trousers is very on brand at the moment.
When you say at the moment, do you mean... Now I'm confused as to what you mean.
I mean 2024.
Okay, right. Yeah, baggy jeans are in, right? Are baggy jeans
and those
in?
Kind of... Those mono colour baggy t-shirts as well. I'm basically trying to imply that I'm at the height of fashion because that's all I wear. Right. Just jeans
baggy
and...
T-shirt. Right, right.
Baggy t-shirts. They're actually very fashionable at the moment.
A plain grey t-shirt is very in.
Oh, very in. Very, very in.
In the attic.
I saw a TikTok the other day describing, saying that the cardigan is the sluttiest thing a man can wear.
Yeah, that's true.
I wear a lot of cardigans.
Because you're a slut.
So I'm being shamed.
Yeah. Oh, Luke's being slut shamed for his knitwear choices. It happens to the best of us. It happens to the best
I've
of us.
I've never worn a cardigan and I never will.
Oh, okay.
They wind me up.
Steve, I reckon. Why do they wind you up?
They wind me up.
Why?
D me up, yes.
Why, though?
D me up.
Though.
Like a zip-up hoodie, you can have it open or closed for, like, extra or
can
less
you?
Warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have a hood, but when do you ever use the hood? What's your problem? What's your problem with the cardigan?
They Speaking wind me up.
Okay. We'll never find out. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
What did you think of that sort of mixed bag of
It wound
sort of
me
stuff?
Up.
Okay, good.
I liked seeing them in interviews talking about how everyone else sucks.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because they're so mild-mannered. But if you listen to what they're saying things like, well, we just think that all music at the moment is shit.
Yeah. I also liked Radio Free Europe. And I like seeing the doll rolling down the board for the seventh time. I can't wait to see that full music video. Because I saw a little spoiler for the music video during all of that. I didn't mention it at the time. I saw where he got the box with the doll in it. Off a man.
A man.
A man gave it to him.
Then he gives it to
another
man.
I don't
want to
know that he gets it from a man.
Oh, well, sorry. All right.
You'll forget. It's fine. It's a few weeks away. It's a few weeks away. It's fine.
Never forget.
Well, that's the end of this. Never forget. Thanks, Steve. Thank you. It's the end of this episode, I reckon. I'm going to dedicate it to Ed Shaw, who is one of the subscribers over on Patreon at the biggest mates level, which means you get a little episode dedicated to you. And this is yours to do what you want with. You can do whatever you want with it, Ed Shaw. If you want to delete it, let me know, and I'll just take it out of circulation. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, not worry.
If you want it to be twice as long, that's fine. I'll get Steve and Lucas back in, and we'll record about another hour and 20 minutes for you. And we'll
No. If you want to make it twice as long, you just like add an hour.
Should I just repeat it?
Just silence.
Okay,
repeat
silence.
It reversed. So it
as
it
long
goes,
as the file length is twice as much, then you've
yeah.
Any of those, answers. Ed?
Any
just
of
let
those.
Us know.
Yeah, just let us know. Let us know. You can email us at whatismusicpod@gmail.com. Anyway, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Our next episode is out next Monday. We are going to dive into The Dead Letter Office by REM. So come and join us for that. But before you do, come and let us know what you think of the clips that we watched. Come and tell us everything. Did you see them on the pageantry tour? Did you see them on any of the tours that we watched today? Did you see any of this stuff? Did you used to watch Entertainment Tonight? God, imagine. Imagine. Let us know if you used to watch Entertainment Tonight. You can find us on Twitter.
It's tell me Facebook, as well.
Separately. At What Is Music Pod. TikTok at What Is Music. If you want to send in something a little bit longer, we'll read it out on the show. Email us, whatismusicpod@gmail.com. And if you liked what you heard here and you thought, I'd like to hear more of that, please head over to our Patreon page. There's all kinds of extra podcast shows. There's one where we're revisiting Manic Street Preachers. Disaster. One where we explore all kinds of different artists, genres and eras to make theme playlists. There's bonus commentaries, music discussion episodes, ad-free episodes of this show, an amazing Discord community, and a very exciting announcement from Steve. You can head to patreon.com/whatismusicpod or follow the link in the show notes for up to 2 podcast episodes every single week. There are other ways you can support us if you'd like to. Buy some of our merchandise at whatismusicpod.redbubble.com. Send us a little one-off donation on ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com/whatismusic. The best way to support us, however, is just to do what you are doing right now, which is listening to us. And you can rate the show and subscribe to the show. You share it with your friends. All of that stuff. That about does it. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next week. But for now, it's the end of the episode as we know it. And I feel pretty good.
You feel pretty good?
Yeah.
I feel cool.
I feel R.E.M.
Good. Lovely.